You're listening to Talk the Walk, the podcast putting legs on social work in Indigenous communities through story. Living on Gumbunya country in Australia, this is your host, Lucy Van Sandy. Hello, and welcome back to Talk the Walk. Episode 23. Today I'm talking with Diana Jans, a First Nations social worker practicing in maternal child health with the Apunapima Cape York Health Council. Diana holds a Bachelor of Education and Masters in Social Work and brings a diverse range of modalities to her practice framework, including narrative therapy, rational emotive, and cognitive behavioural therapy. Diana has a diverse work history in government and non-government organisations, including schools, hospitals, intensive family support services, Lifeline, Centrelink and the Department of Child Safety. I can't wait to get my yarn on with Diana and find out what makes this woman tick. So Diana, thanks for joining me on the podcast this afternoon after what's been probably another hectic day for you, right?
Yes, that's true.
Diana, I'm wondering if we might begin our conversation with a little bit of history. How did you come to find yourself practicing social work up there in Cairns and the Cape York region? Can you tell us a bit of that story?
Okay, so I've worked for many years as a teacher in Cape York and in the Cairns area, and I felt that there was something that I needed extra to do in my classroom, and so I thought I needed to upskill because I felt that there was more for me other than teaching. So I looked through a whole heap of degrees, and I thought about psychology, and I thought about doing my nursing, doing my health worker, I thought about doing ambulance, I thought about maybe joining the police. And when I came on to the social work mission statement and vision and code of ethics, I thought that was definitely where I needed to be. So I looked into doing my social work, and I found that the James Cook University in Cairns offered a Masters of Social Work. So through their Cairns campus and their Townsville campus. And so I thought I would give that a go. And yeah, I've been doing social work since.
And so do you hail from that area, or where is it exactly that you come from?
Okay, so my family is from the Mapoon area, so Chungji Thepatigi tribes of Mapoon, and Mapoon is situated about 1 hour north of Weipa.
Oh, okay.
And so Weipa is approximately 12-hour drive from Cairns, drive north of from Cairns.
I imagine it's beautiful country up that way.
It is very beautiful.
And you come from a big family?
Yes, I only have one biological brother, but I have many other cousins and extended family, very large extended family.
So maybe you could tell us a little bit about, I don't know, what's a typical day for you at the moment? What do you find yourself doing as a social worker in the maternal child health section of the health council up there?
So a normal day consists of meeting up with the Cairns Home Visiting Team girls, and the Cairns Home Visiting Team is an arm of the maternal child health, and their role is to support Cape York ladies who come to Cairns for confinement to have their babies. Mm. So Cape York Community Health sends, or Queensland Health sends their ladies to Cairns at 36 weeks ready to have their babies here. Yeah. And they travel from their communities, and they're accommodated in various places throughout Cairns and for their appointments. Mm. So our job with the Cairns Home Visiting Team is to find out who's in Cairns, where they're staying, and do home visits. And it may be something as simple as just going up and doing ward rounds to the maternity wards or to the pediatrics, because we also support the kids who come down as well for appointments and other things that they may need medical attention for. That's the morning. And the afternoons are usually picking up ladies and taking them to their various appointments as well, but it's more about going out where they're staying in community. So some people choose to stay with family if they have any in Cairns, and some people choose to stay in the accommodation. Some of the accommodation in Cairns is specifically just for mums and bubs and women, and those who choose to have their partners or their dads of their babies will stay in general accommodation like Red Cross or other places like that.
So what sort of issues do you find yourself dealing with on a day-to-day basis that I guess might be the most challenging for you?
Okay, so the social worker role, I primarily support the Cairns Home Visiting Team with high-risk pregnancies and complex pregnancy issues. So they can vary from, you know, a mum who may be experiencing separation from her family to something as complex as a mum who may be, you know, have had several unalive births, down to something simple as that, or child safety matters, supporting and advocating for mothers and the baby's rights, down to something as simple as, you know, mum needs to go shopping to buy some clothes, or she needs to buy pram, or can be, yeah, anything.
And I imagine the separation from family is quite a common issue that people, you know, being away so far from away from home, it's a huge thing. The geographical distance is quite large, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, it is. I don't have the exact distance and kilometres at my fingertips to tell you, but yeah, you know, a lot of our communities are allocated on away from Cairns, and travelling distance is usually by dirt road. So four-wheel drive vehicles, or in the wet season when they are not accessible, flights. And then you're looking at high cost of flights. In some communities, it's nearly it's $1,400 to $1,600 return just for a one-hour flight.
Yes.
So, you know, it's ridiculous. So patient travel allows for first-time mums to have an escort. So if they have an escort, that's okay, so they've got that support. But if it's not their first time, or they're not a high-risk pregnancy, then they travel on their own. And if they've got young kids at home and a family, yeah, separating is difficult.
And there's also the whole idea of being away from your loved ones. And I imagine for many of these mums, they would much prefer their loved ones around them at a time like this. Is that the case?
Yes, that is true, yes.
It must be really difficult. So what drives you to do this work? Because how long have you been doing it now?
I've been employed with the Puna Pima since 2014. And I don't know. I just enjoy working in Cape York and working with the mums and the families up here, and being connected to my home and my country and my family. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about this connection to home and what that's like for you working on your country?
You know, when you live away from home, especially for an Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander person, especially for a woman. I'm of age now, so I'm finished with the hustle and bustle of city life, and, you know, just enjoying being home. And there's something just about being connected to country and the enormous captivation that you have with, you know, being on the land that your great great grandparents were born on. You know, it's surreal. It's probably, you can't really explain it. It's just a being.
It's part of who you are, isn't it? And I guess really natural to be able to work in that place.
Yes.
And so, I mean, you've explained how when you're a teacher, you felt like there was something missing and you wanted something more in terms of your education. I'm wondering, looking back, was there a point where you thought, you know what, this is the kind of work I want to be doing? Can you think about what that turning point was for you?
I suppose I had a young child in my class who came to school one day with chips and gravy and a can of Coke and a packet of iced Vovos for lunch. And this happened on a regular basis for this particular child. And I had sat down with family and had a chat with them, and I realised that they had a very complex family life and complex living situations in Cairns. And I just thought that, you know, there has to be something out there for that supports families who are struggling. And I, as I said before, you know, when I looked at the code of ethics and the values and mission statement and the of social work, I thought, well, maybe, yeah, I thought that's exactly where my drive was at that time. And so I think I've always been a social worker.
Ah, what makes you say that?
Well, I remember my mother saying, because she was a nurse, and I remember her saying, you know, when you were a little girl, used to bring all the kids from around the neighbourhood to come and see mum if they had a scratch on their knee or... So funnily enough, I'm doing very similar to that now.
Yeah. What do you think your mum saw in you that she would make a statement like that?
Busybody, bit of a helper. Yeah. Probably a bit of a codependent. I don't... Yeah.
Would she talk about maybe some of the values that you bring to your work now that she might have spotted back when you were a child? What would those values be?
Yeah, probably the helper mode, you know, being that person to be there to think of others and, you know, offering that support, that sort of thing. Mm. Yeah.
Would there be other beliefs or principles about living or working that you can identify with and that maybe your mum would have recognised as well?
Probably also the need to be with families and the need to be, you know, a carer. I know how difficult it is for some families who do it hard, you know, and I take my hat off to their resilience. And I think that that's something I always valued when I worked with people and really respected was their strengths and in adversity and how they just managed to just cope. Mm-hmm. So admiration as well. Mm-hmm. You know, I admire people who can say, look, I'm doing it really hard. I'm not really coping. Can you maybe give me a hand?
And so thinking about while you were growing up, were there people around you that were a little bit like that for you, like role models in that way?
I think my mother was. My grandmother definitely was. My cousins always were or are. So, yeah, I think it's a trait of being not only for me as a woman but my family as being, you know, survivors of being stolen generation. You know, we've had to just get on with things.
Is there a story you might be able to share around what it was like for you and your family to be survivors of the stolen generation?
My grandmother was a big, big believer in just not sitting and talking about it, but just getting up and being a provider for your family and being a nurturer. And she didn't really have a lot of, you know, a lot of time to stop and ponder on what shoulda, coulda, wouldas, you know, as a young girl who was removed from her family and her mother at 5 years old, you know, and she had to struggle and cope and raise her children without her family around. So I think that's probably what I've taken from that.
What's really rubbed off on you is this idea of not sitting around and talking but actually being a doer, a provider, a nurturer?
I think that sitting and talking is very, very important. I think for my my grandmother at that time, she was probably a bit of OCD and a bit of an eccentric, and so she was always busy, always physically busy, you know, and mentally busy, and kept being busy. So then that rubbed off onto my mum, who was also a very busy person, and so we've still been busy.
Oh, beautiful. And I know one of the other things that you've been busy doing is working on a paper. Is that right? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. We, Puna Pima and other services, worked on a workshop, and the workshop was called Coming to Town. And it focused very similar to what I said about the Cairns Home Visiting Team. So services who were involved with supporting those pregnant mums and families who had to leave their remote communities in Cape York to come to Cairns for a medical treatment or medical appointment / attention. So there was heaps and heaps of services, right down just to, you know, the flights that needed to be booked, down to patient travel, down to accommodations. And so after the workshop, we had several meetings and get-togethers with the same services, and we decided that we wanted more out of than just having catch-ups and talking about it. So we thought, well, let's write a paper. So, yeah, we've written a paper called Coming to Town, and that was headed by Dr. Malcolm McDonald and a few other people. And, yeah, so we're just waiting now for it to be published.
What do you think the lessons for social workers might be when that paper comes out? What might they learn from reading that paper?
The lessons would be that our services are not always an easy journey for our clients and our patients and people who we work with. Their journeys can be very complex, and if we don't think about how we are going to have our needs-focused support rather than a social work support plan, which can be very different to the actual person and family's needs, then we're going to have a big surprise.
So what were some of the main findings? Are you allowed to speak about those?
Yeah, probably two things. One thing was the unknowingness of services who are supporting families with their journey. So the unknowingness of their homes that they come from, the community dynamics, the family complex situations, and sometimes the social determinants. So when we're working with a mum who comes to Cairns for pregnancy, she's not just a mum who's coming to Cairns to have a baby. She's a mum, she's a mother, she's a sister, she's an auntie, she's a carer. She's a community member who has very, very important place in her community, whatever that may be. And I think that when services support or do their particular job, they only see numbers. And one of the other findings was that we don't listen and we don't talk. We sometimes just do, which can be a hindrance in itself. So we don't sit and listen to the person when they say, well, I need to have my mum come with me, even though this is my second or third baby, but I need to have my mum come with me because I've just had a big fright back home in community and I'm a little bit nervous at the moment. You know, something similar to that. Or my child's very ill at the moment, and even though they're not sick enough to come to Cairns for treatment, they're still homesick. And I don't really have anyone who can support that kid at night time or whatever it might be. So we don't sit and listen to when people ask things, why, you know. And, you know, and sometimes it's not anyone's business, but I think as people who are trying to do our job, we can't do our job effectively if we got closed ears and closed minds.
So what are you hoping might be some of the outcomes after this paper's released? How might it change things for service providers?
We are hoping that it can be used for intern doctors or new doctors who are just entering into the field, or new social workers entering the field, anyone who might be looking at coming into Cape York to work in human services, you know, it might be that sort of pathway.
Yeah, beautiful. What would you say has been your biggest learning over the years, maybe the last 4 years since you've been working in the maternal child health service? And how might this knowledge benefit social workers just coming out or starting work in the field?
It's okay not to know everything. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to say, I don't actually know what I'm doing. And it's okay to sit down and take some advice and some support from not just your peers and your lead, but from your clients and your patients and your community people around you, because they're the experts in their lives, because they're living it.
Yeah, well said. What do you think sets social work in the area that you're practicing apart from perhaps a social work role in a similar setting in another part of Australia?
Without getting too involved in politics, I think that Cape York gets forgotten about in regards to a lot of areas, but I think social workers in Cape York, as with any other services, we're short staffed, so please come to Cape York.
Get
your social work degree.
So yeah. You really want to encourage other Aboriginal social workers to come up there and work?
Definitely, for sure. Only if they've got that, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're Aboriginal or not, as long as you've got that, you've got to have knowledge of community, and it's not just sitting in an office, air-conditioned office, or the health centre. It's getting out there and getting your clothes dirty and getting your hair messed up and that sort of stuff, yeah.
Is there any other attributes you think a social worker would need for the context of work you're doing?
Lots and lots of support and supervision, and take the time to do some real critical and self-reflection, and network with other social workers who are working in the same field and the same area. There's no point talking. Well, there is a point, sorry. It's very difficult to get supervision from a social worker who has never worked in the same community that you've worked in, that you're working in now.
Sounds like great advice. I know that you're pushed for time. So just in wrapping up, how can people connect with you either online or in person, and perhaps hear about the paper that's coming out?
Yep. Okay. So www.apunapima.org.
Okay, so there'll be a link to the paper at some stage on the website?
Yes, okay. Yes.
Do you know when that might be?
I have no idea, I'm sorry. This has been over 12 months already, so we're still waiting.
And if people wanted to follow up with you, maybe that I know that we've only had a very quick conversation today, so if they wanted to connect with you, what would be the best way of doing that?
Google Apunapima and look up our phone number and ask for me. That's probably the best thing.
I'll make sure I put some links to the website and contact details through the website at the bottom of the show notes, so that will be easy for people to follow.
Great. Thank you very much.
Well, I just want to say thank you, Diana. I know that you're extremely busy up there. So, thank you so much for taking some time out today to talk with us.
Thank you very much, Lucy.
Thanks for listening to Talk the Walk, the podcast putting legs on social work in Indigenous communities through story, music by Flashback Digital. You can access all the show notes from today's podcast at www.metaphoricallyspeaking.com.au. I'm currently on the lookout for inspiring interviewees. If you or someone you know is walking the talk in their work or community, then I'd love to hear from you. You can drop me an email at lucy@metaphoricallyspeaking.com.au or visit my contact page on the Metaphorically Speaking website. Until next time, just keep on walking.